Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
KeithandtheGirl.com/kick, K-I-C-K. Our Kickstarter is now over 50% funded. Very exciting, Chemda.
Yeah, this is so cool. We have a couple weeks left, but don't wait. If we get funded, we have another year of Keith and the Girl. We'll do a 24-hour marathon, and there's the potential to go back to 5 episodes of Keith and the Girl a week. So don't wait. KeithandtheGirl.com/kick.
Very exciting. Very fun to see. Very fun to see people participate. Thank you. Today's guest, fantastic, from the podcast, the Ali Colbert podcast. It's Ali Colbert. Why would that be confusing? Yes. Hello, Ali.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
When did you decide on that cleverness? I'll do it without the T for the show, but with the T for my name.
It is at the Ali Colbert Show.
Oh, it is. I for some reason, when I hear it, I hear not the T for the show and the T for your name. And I made
that
up.
That's what Colbert did.
Everyone, yeah, you made that up.
Wow. Every time I hear it.
I didn't decide on that cleverness.
Okay. No. Well, good to see you. Your stand-up's fantastic. Your podcast is as well.
And your cleverness is different than what we thought, but that's okay. We're going to get to know you.
The Ali Colbert Show, she talks about dating, relationships. She talks about mental health, right? I see here who, for example, pays on a same-sex date. What do your porn preferences mean? I do have a lot of questions for you. First of all, who pays on a same-sex date?
Well, it depends who the boy one is.
Okay. And how do you figure that out? By what you're wearing?
I wouldn't say. I think it's an energetic thing for women. I mean, in relationships I've been in, it has been somewhat clear. I, now later in life, now that I'm a more established gay, I'm the boy one.
Okay.
Yeah, it feels like an energetic thing. I know people are always like curious about that. Straight people always want to know that. Who pays on same-sex dates? I pay on same-sex dates.
Does it get exhausting?
Yeah, I'm very resentful.
Have you thought of femming it up, because this is the criteria apparently for who pays?
I've thought about that, but I don't want to be like topped. So I pay, and because I pay, I get to peg people.
Oh, okay. So like whoever tops wears more equipment.
That's like, obviously that's a stereotype. However, I do like kind of like when I'm not resentful of paying, I kind of like the power of like, I pay, I get to fuck you. Like, I kind of like those male ideals. I'm really a bad lesbian. I'm a very sexist lesbian. So.
Well, do you get into trouble because of the language that we're using now? We're not using, you know, I'm more the guy, because how do you know? And just because you're the one on top and you're the one paying, and it's very stereotypical. And we can, look, we're doing a whole dance on this. And then, and we can actually run in rhythm together with this. Do you get a lot of shit for language like this?
I think I do on TikTok, but it's, you know, I have found, I don't know if you guys have found this, but at least in stand-up, the audience doesn't always have enough time to think about whether or not what you just said was politically incorrect. So they laugh, and then they can kind of think about later if they didn't like it. But I feel like for the most part, my intentions are good. So I can say what I want, because people know that I'm a good person and that I'm not trying to, you know, fuck people. Like, I'm not trying to hurt anyone. So it's the intention, isn't it? I mean, I identify with what I'm saying. It's not really about, someone else might feel, well, I'm, you know, I feel both the girl and the guy, and okay, good for you. That's not how I feel. So I'm just speaking to my own experience.
On Jimmy Fallon, you mentioned how you met a woman, started dating during the pandemic. Are we still together? I need an update.
Yes, we're engaged.
Yeah, look at this.
Congratulations. We're engaged.
Yeah, thank you so much. We have a pretty wild story. We both hooked up with the same guy. And we met through a guy.
And?
Which is
Is that somehow worse than any app or meeting at a bar? Because this is the... There's like a succession of things that have happened where we have to be embarrassed by, and then we get over it, and then there's a new thing to be embarrassed by. So for our generation, when we met someone at a bar and we ended up like being engaged and married to them, we made up. I remember people made up going like, oh, yeah, we met through a mutual friend. It's totally not a bar. A bar is only where gross people go to meet. You know, that's where. Yeah. And then the app started coming up. And then so people started meeting on apps and now they were lying like, no, we met at a bar. It was a party. It was whatever. So now all of a sudden the bars were fine and the apps are taboo. Now it's, of course, we met on an app. Everything's just totally normal. And now you met through a guy, which is now hopefully the taboo thing that we have to get over, because otherwise, what would it be?
Well, we met in person. We both weren't like dating this guy at the same time, but we had both like, you know, gone out with him, which is really, that's like my most, I don't know why I do that between dating women. I like try and remember if I like men and I go out with them and I go, oh yeah, you're right. You don't like them. But I met her in person. We had both went out with this guy. He had introduced us not to date. My fiance never dated a woman before me, straight her whole life. I was performing at an event that she was hosting. And I like that we met in person. I've never met a person I've dated off an app. I've met like hookups from an app, but never a relationship.
Right.
I'm proud of, because that sounds like better, I think.
Sure. Who dated this guy first? The mutual guy. She did.
She did.
And how did it come up that you dated the same guy? Or is that the hello? Like you both knew it?
Right. Well, he didn't lead with that. He called her a friend because he's kind of like a fuck boy. And he had been like interested in me, but he knew I was gay and he knew if I was I was vulnerable enough, he might have a shot. But he was like, you should do this show that my friend is hosting. And her and I eventually months down the line kind of like talked about how this guy was a bit of a player. And that was when we pieced it together. We didn't know right out the gate.
And how long has it been that you two were together so far?
Two and a half years.
And who proposes? You being more the man role?
I proposed. Yeah, I proposed.
So you have to pay for the ring too. You have to pay for everything, Allie.
I paid for the ring. I was happy to pay for the ring because I always wanted to do that. Like that felt like an authentic part of me that like I got to like ask, like that's a dream to me, is to like have a girl that like is hot marry you. Like I totally get dudes like having a hot girl want to like be at home and like make you food and like comfort you. Like I can't imagine dating a dude. Like they're so much worse. Like, are you kidding me? I could have a wife. Like even straight women probably want a wife. Like that is like so awesome to have a wife.
Have you thought about marriage before this woman?
Yeah, I thought about it. I mean, I'm not so crazy about the institution, but I do like the idea of having a woman who's locked at home making me food.
Right. Is that what this woman is planning on doing? And yeah, 100%. Is this part of your proposal?
Yeah, what do you think, Julian? No, I think, look, there's some parts about having a husband that sound appealing. I mean, I like the idea of a guy coming home and like giving me money. By the way, I'm obviously cherry picking my favorite parts of marriage.
But yeah, I feel like you haven't dated a lot of men because they totally don't come home and give you money. I don't know what century you were dating these guys, but that is completely not how it happens.
Traditionally, you're right. I'm being very sexist, but I'm just saying traditionally, if you want to sleep with hot women, you have to have a lot of money. And well, you have to give them money, and nothing dries up a pussy faster than an empty bank account. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, my dad likes to pretend he's old-fashioned, but he never did the old-fashioned things. I'm the brains of the family. Your mother's the heart. She has to listen to whatever I say. Oh, and you work and pay money for the family? No, not that part. But, you know, still. Right. And right. I see that a lot in regular relationships, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing with, like, this is my thought on like, yeah, marriage is a partnership. Couples are a partnership. My friend Dan Perlman has an amazing joke about how like an equal balance of power is like the least erotic thing ever. Like there's no porn category that's like these coworkers get it on. It's like there needs to be some disparity here. That's what creates eroticism. It's not the fact that we're like fucking teammates. Like that's so unsexy.
How did you propose?
I love this. That it seems like your goal is to be just as problematic as this other douchebag over here. You know,
I want to be as misogynistic as all the men. I'm gonna. No, I'm joking.
That's true equality.
You're role playing with us because
a little bit. I mean, listen, it's some of these are jokes.
Well, your future wife might be listening, and you can't have her think that you're, you know, submissive to anything we say or she says. So
you know,
you got to establish dominance everywhere you go. Yeah.
Women aren't turned on. Well, she's not going to be turned on. Is this okay? God, this is, I'm going to be really wrung out to dry here. I proposed, I'm kidding somewhat. I put the ring in a Bananagrams box. There was this cute, like, Bananagrams box in our hotel room. We were staying in Costa Rica. We went to the beach.
It's like Bananagram. Why are we acting like we know this? Does everybody know this but me?
It was like, it's like a game. It was like kind of, it's like a Scrabble, like a pseudo Scrabble game. And there was a box with like tiles in it. And we were going to go to the beach. We were in Costa Rica. We brought this in our like beach bag to play this game. And she opened it up and the ring wasn't there.
And she goes, "Oh, there's a ring in there." You're like, "Go ahead."
Oh, she goes, she was
"Was
like,
it loose? Was it just like, here's a tile, here's a ring?"
Yeah. So she was like,
"You messy fuck. Are you serious? You put a lovely ring that you paid, I assume, a good amount of money, because otherwise your future wife is not going to give a shit about it. So you just loosey goose said, find a tile, find a ring." And well, she found it.
It was a very tiny box. It's like
it was a box.
Quite small. These tiles. It's like they can't see. Well, the live stream can. And so it was right on top. So she wasn't like really searching through. But she immediately thought someone who stayed in the room before us had like left a ring in there accidentally.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she was like, "Oh my god, we can make money off of this." I'm like, "No, no, this is I put that in there for you."
Do you go on one knee? Do you just go, "Huh?" What do you say?
More of a "huh." Yeah. More of like a, "So, no one knee." That felt too, like, that's where I draw the line.
Right.
I didn't want to do the one knee thing. I think I don't know what I said. I said, "I love you. I want to be with you. Will want the ring?"
You want it? That's how you get it.
Yell. What'd you say?
Did she scream in happiness, that kind of thing?
Yeah, she like cried and
that's
screamed
good.
And yeah, the whole thing.
Do you have any pictures? Were you both in bathing suits? Did you plan that so you could post a picture of your hot future wife?
I didn't plan it for a photo. Okay. No, but I do have photos. I do have photos. I'll share them with you both.
Are you guys half naked in this and now you have to show everybody your engagement photos where you're in bathing suits?
No.
Not that I'm shaming this. I'm just saying it is a move.
Yeah, no, not half naked, fully clothed.
Okay.
She was in a bathing suit. That was not a part of the thinking. She's a very outdoorsy person. I knew she wanted to be on the beach. The beach is like her favorite place. Me, on the other hand, I'm very much an indoor person. I get sick in the sun. I'm nauseous. I'm burned. I'm uncomfortable. The bugs. I'm very Jewish. I need to be inside. I like to be on a couch. I like air conditioning.
Did the families get along?
The families get along incredibly well. It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
What? Who the fuck are these people? How did find two families that could get along with anybody?
It's really insane. She has the best family in the world. I don't agree with them at all politically. And we get along. I mean, this is like a testament to I can't believe how well I get along with her parents, considering the fact that they're in QAnon.
Oh no, that's too bad.
I made a joke. I said I can't believe how well I get along with her parents, considering the fact that they're in QAnon. But we really get along so well. I mean, I adore her parents. It's pretty interesting.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? Do you celebrate? Do you go to somebody's house?
Yeah, we're going to my house. We're going to my family's house in Connecticut. We're flying.
Do you get along with your family as much as you just said about hers?
Oh, yeah. I know. Both of our parents are married. Happily married.
Oh, my God. What part of Connecticut are you going back to? I have to pick up my brain off the floor. So, you know, as
Weston.
Your aunt.
Weston. Have you been?
No.
Next to Westport.
Okay, that's Connecticut proper, right? We got the houses. It's not apartment buildings. We got the yard. We got the nice upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. Connecticut.
Did you go
proper.
To Jewish school, yeshiva? I did. I did. I learned how to be an atheist. It was very good education.
Where did you go to yeshiva?
Solomon Schechter.
Oh, wow. Is that Westchester?
There was one in the Bronx, and I went to the one in Queens. I went to Solomon Schechter School of Queens. SSSQ. Wow.
I went to a public school, but the town is incredibly small, so it kind of felt like a private school. But I did this program about like learning about Israel as a Jewish person program when I was in high school. And a lot of the kids in the program, everyone in the program actually, other than me, was an Orthodox Jew.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of them went to Solomon Schechter.
Oh, up in Riverdale?
Yes.
Okay. Because we went to a weekend with that other Solomon Schechter one time when we were like in seventh grade. And we were bullies. It turns out on the way we said, I remember this chant, and we were so young, but we were like, who are these pussies? And we were pussies ourselves. Queens is nowhere to act like a tough guy in uh-huh. Solomon Schechter. But all of a sudden, we found people who were wimpier than us, and we were pretty mean about it. So on their, they got on their bus, we got on ours, and we said, Riverdale abaita pipi velishon, which means Riverdale, go home. Pee and go to sleep. Now,
I heard
somehow
pee-pee.
That is.
I did hear pee-pee.
What language is that? Is that French? What is that?
Yes, it's French. We learned it in Solomon
Schechter. What a, like, it's such a lovely, lovely, like, bully chant. Merci beaucoup. Est-ce que it's like you, gorgeous. I love that.
Thank you. It was more like Riverdale Baita, Pipi Velishan.
So, oh, wow. That sounds so fun. I love that.
Well, we're supposed to be in the military. Instead, we told people when to pee.
Right.
Tough guys. Yeah. Real tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the IDF.
Speaking of family, I learned another secret about my dad. Could you explain to Allie, since she's new to Keith and the Girl, my dad, just to catch people up. How would you describe this guy?
Catching up on Keith's dad, it's been almost 18 years of us podcasting, and it took just about that for Keith to recognize how thoroughly abused and very weird, very unique abusive techniques that his father came up with. And the most recent one we're turning into a book where Keith, his father got in touch with Keith's ex-wife after they had already been divorced for 2 years and said, hey, what happened between you and Keith? Keith decided he's going to take over, pretend he's the wife, and was catfishing his dad for a year. In that year, the dad hit on the wife, but he was really hitting on
me.
You know, Keith, because that's who he was actually corresponding with. It went to, again, the book is coming out soon. It was email after email that we were like, okay, this has to be the right. worst. This guy used to be a Catholic priest. Did I mention that? I could mention every year in Keith's life and something fucking bananas happened where your jaw would be on the floor and go, oh, Keith, I thought you were a little like, you know, something where I have to squint at you a little bit. Turns out you're amazing. Because if anyone else grew up like you did, we would have to like carry them to their next situation all day. But you're doing all right.
Yeah, you
That's
could,
pretty wild.
Yeah.
You could see this story at keithandthegirl.com/dads, the audio parts that we talked about. And now I'm putting it into a book so you can look at the last email sent. You know what I mean? So you can scroll up or turn the page back and be like, wait a minute.
How did this come out to your dad? Did he know he was talking to you?
He knows now. This catfishing lasted a full year. And he knows now. And of course, we're not talking.
What was his reaction?
He's pretending that he really did talk to my ex. Oh, as well as talking to me. And there's things I don't know about.
Yeah, right.
Right? I'm like, Dad, I know about everything in black and white because I did it. I wrote it. You wrote back to me like, there's things you don't know.
Was your dad like sending you dick pics?
He did tell me I make his libido jingle. I did get that.
You know, there was an episode of Catfish on MTV, the most like traumatic episode. I had the host on my show last week. He was saying how it was the mother taking her daughter's nudes and using them to talk to like an 18-year-old. And again, it was like, it's just really disturbing. I mean, that is really fucked up.
It was weird. I'm like, Dad, it's me. And so he makes time go by. And then it goes, hi, everybody. Did you get your booster shot? Hey, Keith, it's your birthday again. Happy birthday. Like, how can we go on with our lives if this is never acknowledged? That's insane.
Mentally ill.
At best. But he knows he's lying when he lies.
Yeah, he's more controlling than mentally ill. You know, he's more of a liar and trying to backpedal, and is so dumb that he doesn't even know how to do that accurately, because he's so sloppy with his abuse now that his kids, all five of them, know, oh, this is dad. Like, they used to give him passes and like, oh, yeah, he was like a little controlling or whatever. Now they go, oh, yeah, our dad's. Right. A liar, manipulator, and he's trying to pin us against each other. And we now have proof.
Coming on to the ex-wife is like a particular form of sick, though.
Like, you know what he said to Keith when he said that? He goes, what don't you understand about her being your ex?
What part of ex don't you understand? Yeah.
Like, that's when he went to there. Oh, and so he also went
she's
to...
Free
that's
now.
Not just controlling. Yeah. That's not just controlling. Right. That's so fucking unhinged.
It's out of this world. And he's still married for what
By the way,
worth.
What's his number? I'm joking.
Right. Well, you know what? He's the only one. He doesn't have any friends because they all figured him out. So all he has happened to have access to is his family and people like my ex.
Right.
Those are the only choices he can go to.
Yeah. I mean, and he's still married?
My mom's in assisted living right now, but yes, he's still married.
Was she in assisted living when he was doing this? I don't think so.
No. No. At the beginning of it, they lived in the same house, right?
In fact, they were having the best part of their relationship because she was starting to have dementia. So she probably couldn't remember what a douche he was.
Yeah.
And they were having a nice time for like a year or two there as she was declining.
I think now she gave it to herself. Really, I could use a smidge of that dementia.
I need to forget this.
he ended up just telling my brother, we're going to do another Daddy Issues episode coming up, me and Ken. It's in your VIP package. And we'll flush this out. But he told my brother that he is the third fastest runner in Ohio when he was younger. My dad is the third fastest runner in all of Ohio State, the state.
Your dad.
My dad is, because at a church function, he raced the fourth fastest runner and beat him. And he also...
That's an amazing way they measure how fast you are. That's so funny.
And he wrote something in his email on the show with my brother. I'll go through it with more detail. Ooh, but
I just got douche chills from your dad. Wow. Okay, go ahead.
He also raced the football quarterback Bernie Kosar, who was a great quarterback for the Browns. Mm. And he
so beat, your dad is on the Browns.
So now he's the leader of the Browns as well. But he raced him, somehow beat him, and it's like, but you were 20 and Bernie Kosar wasn't born yet. What do you his brother wrote back, I don't think this guy was born yet. My dad wrote back, LOL, you always do question things. And that's the end of that. Like, it's so silly, I'm not even gonna acknowledge it.
There's a lot of like older men that just kind of fabricate things about their life. I don't know if it's some way of like reclaiming something that they feel like they never had or.
Yeah.
Well, because I found so many of them.
You used to be able to get away with it. You can have a second family, one neighborhood over, and nobody would know. There's no connecting, linking. There's none of that. Now they don't know. What was it? A friend of mine was dating someone who hadn't been on apps. He got on the apps, didn't realize what on Instagram is in front of everybody and what on Instagram is behind the scenes. So he's openly flirting with people when he's not supposed to, like as if that's a DM, because they don't know the difference. So I think older guys or older people in general might not know what they can't get away with anymore.
Yeah, that is kind of funny how like messy they are. Like my uncle, I love him, but he can be a pig. He's on Instagram. He's following like 200 porn accounts. And I'm like, hey, like, look what you're following. He's like, I must have been hacked.
Right.
Like, you weren't hacked.
Right. They use words so stupid, they don't even realize it's like a 5-year-old lying to you because they don't know the truth yet. It's like, oh yeah, I don't have it, and it's behind their back, and they think when they don't see something, it's not there anymore. They, you know, it's just, yeah, they're turning into children.
My dad brought up, like, did bring up porn on his computer once. He said, oh, you know, he made up some lie, some story about something. He's like, yeah, I don't know how that happened. In fact, there was porn on my computer, and your brother Mark didn't know how it got there, and I didn't either, and crazy things happened. I'm like, are you taking care of two things at once now, in case I find out about this porn on your computer?
Yeah, I feel like they also, like, everyone watches porn. Like, that idea that, like, porn is, like, you have to, like, how did this get here? I've never once watched porn. You're not fooling anyone.
Right, you're sitting there.
Yeah, I found a lot of porn on my grandfather's desktop computer when I was visiting him in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
It's a virus!
The cat may have walked on the keyboard. Was there a pattern to your grandfather's porn?
There's like young, big busty women. Nothing really other than, I don't think they even like recognize that they could like really kind of get a kink.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't found that search button.
I think like my grandfather's, every time I found porn, it's all like photos. Like they don't even realize you could watch a video now.
In the in your show description, you did say, you know, an example of a question you guys answer. What do porn preferences mean? All right, is it that deep? Like I like taboo shit. Is that there's something deeper there?
Well, taboo shit. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
that means anything you don't want to say out loud, Keith.
I guess so. But you know the one.
So
I mean.
Tell us something. Tell us. What is it?
I just heard it. Family shit.
Doesn't everyone like that? I mean, why is there so much of it on the internet?
Do you like it?
I mean, I like everything. I can get off to anything. But really where that question came from was that a lot of lesbians were writing to me saying that they love gay porn, gay male porn.
Huh.
And I did a lot of research on this, meaning Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the number one porn for straight women and gay women.
How come?
Well, I don't really know, but at least for gay women, from the way I've spoken, like, just from hearing, and at least from my feeling, was that something with like, when I watch two men together, I believe it in a way where if there's a woman getting fucked, I always think she's faking it the whole way through. And I think I don't know why. I tell myself the story that both men are enjoying it, and I always tell myself that the women are lying, probably because women, we're never happy.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think, Hamda?
I that makes sense to me. I remember, like, I don't really watch porn. I'm not saying I've never watched it, but it takes too long, and my imagination, or even lack of imagination, is just easier and faster and better. But I have watched gay porn where it's just guys and loved it, and I was trying to decide why, and I do think it's because of that. I don't buy that's what a woman looks like when she's having sex. That's not what I look like. So maybe like you don't have an opportunity to see what you don't look like, right? You know, so I'm not the blonde with the big boobs, or I have to find someone who's, you know, stereotypically Middle Eastern, and she probably has like a bunch of so you're not going to get what I look like. You're not going to get what I sound like. You're not going to get what I get off to, really. So maybe if I'm watching two men, I could believe them more, because maybe that is what you look like. I don't know.
Right. That could be. Yeah. I haven't had anything come up when I Google Solomon Schechter gangbang, so I don't know.
By the way, speaking of Fallon, you happen to be an NBC page, right?
Yes.
What would you do exactly?
Get Tracy Morgan, his people that he can impregnate. Get it? Because it's from that show, The Lemon. Okay.
Yeah, no, I know. I 30 Rock. I primarily, the page gives tours of 30 Rock. Welcome to Studio 6B, home of The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. You know, you go through everything. And so that's one job. You're giving tours of 30 Rock. You go into the studios, you know, SNL and Late Night with Seth Meyers. When I was there, they were taping Meredith Vieira. They have all the newsrooms, you know. Lester Holt. And then, in addition, you seat the audience members for the live tapings. you bring people in, you put you're getting signals from the girl who works at the show, seat them on the left, and you have to like learn to read this like specific like seating sign language, and you're, you know, putting all of the tourists in their seats. And you also get sort of stationed at different shows, you interview and you get like assignments, which is a la Kenneth the Page.
Would you ever deliberately find yourself walking past Jimmy Fallon, muttering a joke to yourself? Maybe he overhears it.
You're not really like in his, you know, you're not, gotcha. I'm not walking next to him constantly. But I did land the job of being the Tonight Show desk page. So I was working at the desk in the hallway of Studio 6B, which is where Fallon tapes. And my job was to get the talent from their car and put them in the green room. And I did that for like 6 months. So I met almost everyone.
Okay, give us like, if you can't say the name, if it could be a blind item, who, one or two big pain in the asses, why is it so hard to get from the car to the green room with you?
I really don't like remember people being like particularly difficult. Like I remember some people were just more like open when I chatted with them. Other people, I was just like miles behind them. Like I remember like Tyler Perry having like a lot of like orange, like in his room, the rider was like every orange drink under the sun. It was like orange Gatorade, orange soda, orange juice, orange, like just like everything. I remember that. I vividly remember that.
That sounds like what you would do.
Mm-hmm. I like orange. Yeah.
You do? An orange sweatshirt. Yeah. You like all those things.
Yeah.
I remember Snoop Dogg having like so much,
orange
raw,
kush,
what is it called? Chicken and waffles. Like Lay's, Skittles, Doritos, like just like so much junk. Oh my God.
Do people eat it? Because I imagine before a show, no. I'm not eating Doritos.
I took it all home with me every time.
All right, not a bad job.
That's yeah. Nice. No, I was like taking home all this junk. I would tell my friends, I'm like, this was Will Smith's chocolate bar. You didn't eat.
Did Will Smith hit anybody while he was there?
No, not anyone.
All right, I had to. Okay, so when you're doing the tour, what do people the most ooh and ah about? What that you're like, really this?
I think they just want to be. I think the Tonight Show. In the Tonight Show room, the studio, just looking around. They want to know Jimmy's every like his like daily routine. I think like, that's what I would imagine. That's what I remember at least, or maybe something with SNL, but.
Did anyone cry while you were taking them around?
No, no one cried. No one cried.
Like it's the Beatles?
Yeah. No, I don't remember anyone crying. Okay. No. Yeah.
Everyone was behaving.
If anything, it was me that was not behaving. I would like want to end the tours earlier because I wanted to leave. So I would like skip studios. I'd be like, oh, they're busy. Like, we didn't get to see Seth Meyers' studio. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Let's leave.
Are they paying for this tour?
They're paying for the door.
How much is the door?
Oh, such a good question. I have idea.
Is there a goodie bag?
There's no goodie bag.
They should be able to take whatever's left over from one of the celebrities.
You're right. What we did have, which was new when I was working there, was they put in like a fake studio, like very tiny, and they would have the tour guests film like a fake late night show. And people would be like doing camera and people would be like hosting and they could take home the video.
Oh, that's cute. That's really cute.
Yeah.
Any celebrities that you fell in love with? Because they're hotter in person, for God's sakes.
They're so gorgeous. I mean, I remember Ryan Reynolds being so stunning. I remember I remember seeing Jennifer Aniston and being blown away because, I mean, I'm in love with her, but I had heard her voice. So like she's just one of these celebrities who like if you hear her voice on the radio, you know who she is. Mm-hmm. So hearing her voice in person, I had this weird thing happen to me where I both like immediately recognized her, felt like she was a friend, like my body reacted like she was my friend. And then I realized I couldn't say anything to her. I couldn't go up to her. She had no idea who I was. And there was something really depressing about that. It was kind of heartbreaking that I was like, oh, you're my best friend. You don't know me. It was kind of devastating.
Yeah, that's got to happen a lot. I mean, she did start off on the show called Friends. And it's like, so that's what we are, right? You feel like you should be able to.
Yeah, it was really disenchanting. But God, everyone's really gorgeous. Ugh.
Did you get starstruck a lot?
at the start, and then I kind of numbed out to it because right. it's just like every day. But I got the most starstruck, surprisingly, by Katy Perry. I remember thinking like she was so beautiful, and I remember not anticipating like being blown away by her, and then I was like, "You're so gorgeous."
I picture her holding a dog.
You no? picture her holding a dog.
That's how I picture her.
Okay.
Not the picture. Okay. All right. I would have handed her a dog just because it just seems right.
I remember Danny DeVito was like the best. He like was so nice. Let's text your mom. Send her a picture. Like he was just, he was great. He was like so warm. You love the celebrities that like just come on their own. They don't have this like entourage. They just like roll in and they're like talking to everyone, shaking everyone's hand.
Isn't it weird? Because you have to know that people want to take a picture with you and send it to their mom. And that can go really wrong. Like Danny DeVito might not be the one that you want to text to your mom, or maybe you're not talking to your mom or whatever it is. It's a lot of really knowing yourself that you are a celebrity, but also there's a humility in, yes, go ahead, take a picture with me. It's very strange.
Right. And you're actually in that role. We're like specifically told you're not allowed to ask any of these people for a photo because right. it ruins the like integrity of their experience to like, we're here to do work. We're not here to be like bombarded. This is meant to be a safe space, which I understand. So when they offer to take a photo, you're kind of like, oh, you're really cool.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, switching gears here. Were you, you voted, I assume. Is that correct? For the midterms.
Yes, I voted in the midterms.
Were you staying up watching the results? Were you sweating over it? Or
I was watching the results with my in-laws because I flew back into Baltimore, my fiance's hometown. We were going to her brother's wedding. And I was kind of dreading watching the midterms with my in-laws because they're like, it's going to be a red wave. It's going to be a red wave. I was like, dear God, I hope not. I was pleasantly surprised. I was delighted by the results. I mean,
Did you vote like a man?
Did I vote like a man, meaning? Yeah.
I don't know. What'd you mean by the other stuff earlier in the episode?
Oh, really? I know what that, I don't know what that means, but I know, I mean, I know what it means to kind of like, you know, I know what that means in relationship, like the man won. But no, I tend to vote blue because I want women to have control over their bodies and I want to be able to marry.
You're into that?
Yeah, I'm into that, and I support same-sex couples, I support marginalized communities, and I support freedom. So,
are we nervous about Donald Trump? Did announce he's running again. Did this midterm prove that we don't have to worry so much, or we got to sweat just the same?
Oh God, I have hope, because if I don't have hope, I have nothing. I really don't think he will win again, but I don't think I can never feel safe, like for sure, just because of what happened.
He said we could sleep on anything.
In order to make America great and glorious again, he said. He
added it's glorious. A new slogan.
Well, you can't keep repeating yourself, right? Great and glorious. I am announcing my candidacy for the president of the United States, said Trump.
Yeah.
He's got a ton of fans.
What we have going is that he has kind of fucked over the Republican Party in a lot of ways, like all of those candidates that he endorsed losing.
And I pick up newspapers, they're turning on him too, these right wing papers, so that's good news.
That's what I thought, the same thing. I mean, I think I don't know who, Washington Post saying Florida man announces.
Oh, that's funny. DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I hope not. We can only hope.
Right. All right. Do you have you ever?
I hope that him running has scared the life out of everybody who was so relaxed in 2016. Like, yeah. How could Trump win? They were at parties already celebrating Hillary, all of that shit. I think him running will wake those people up like, oh, fuck, we thought everything was cool, you know, right. But it's not. We thought we could just kind of assume the best, but right. No, he could win again. So let's get out there.
Yeah, let's really get out there. Please, no one can kind of rest on their laurels on this one.
That is embarrassing. I mean, Bush won that second time when we thought we were fed up with him.
I know. Well, what do we do about the popular vote? I mean, the fact that, what do you say? I mean, the Electoral College, people, Democrats are always complaining this is a problem. That'll never change, right?
I don't know what the, yeah, I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know how you change these things, period. So probably not.
There's like no infrastructure to even like change that. Right. And we can't get anything done in the first place. We're not going to change that.
Will your in-laws start to like bring up politics, and then you're like, you try to, do you shut it down? Do you just ignore it?
We get into it, but it's like, it's hard. It's hard. The latest thing I've heard from them is that some pilots that were vaccinated can no longer fly planes.
Because they can't see anymore or what?
Because the altitude impacts their ability to fly planes once they've been vaccinated. So they're having issues mid-flight, and thank God the co-pilot is able to
who wasn't vaxxed can keep it in the air.
Oh, yeah. Does vax mean alcohol? Because check their blood alcohol level. Can't see mid-flight might be something different.
Do you ask them, like, where's your source? Can I read that newspaper? It sounds fun. Or do you let it go?
No, I say, let me see the source. Oh, I read a lot of stuff on it. I read a lot of papers on this. I don't ever get the links. Sometimes I get the links and they're like, you know, like defecto, like viral, like blog posts. I'm like, right. I don't know how you believe this, but then they're like, well, the mainstream media is bought. I'm like, we're not using the same set of facts here. I mean, the first time this came up is because I was talking about Joan Rivers, comedic idol of mine, and I was told that there's a conspiracy that Joan Rivers was murdered by the deep state because she knew that Michelle Obama is transgender.
Wow, that's a lot of things. Wow. Wow. So many things in there.
So many things that you don't even know where to start.
No, you don't. That's a weird one to argue because you're like, okay. Yeah,
it's too much to even. So I'm like, that's fascinating.
When you
see you're not going to change anyone's like. It's too deep in, like, I can't change anyone's opinion. They're not going to change mine. So
I had a red father-in-law, he was a wonderful human being to me. And he'd basically argue with himself because I'm listening to him. I had a lot of respect for him. He had a lot of respect for me. And he'd start going off into whatever history or blah, blah, blah. And I'm listening, and he would end whatever spiel and then start going like, but you're going to tell me now that blah, 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 or I bet you're thinking this of me, or your whole blah, blah, blah. And I go, I didn't say a word. I'm really just listening to you. And I guess that's how we didn't end up fighting, is because he talked so much that I'm like, I don't think I'm arguing with you because I don't think there's space.
Yeah, it kind of unravels itself, like just listening. And then you can maybe ask one or two things, but they'll just like do the footwork on their own.
My dad was in a Popular Science article not too long ago. It was about him. Long story short, he was a psychic also, and he predicted where gold would be, blah, blah, blah. And the person putting this article together said, I tried to do research on him, and I found that the only thing I found was that he wrote an article about how wrong Bill Clinton was being with Monica Lewinsky and why he should be impeached. Like, my dad took the time to write a letter to the editor. Cut to,
so interesting.
I'm making his libido jingle, but he knows what Clinton did was wrong.
Right.
What a weird hill for him to die on.
Yeah.
He's a really interesting man.
He's a very interesting man. If you want to talk to him, I have his email address. That should be a Kickstarter reward. You get my dad's email address.
Oh, that's like the highest tier.
Yeah.
That is really funny.
Tomorrow.
Level 4, date Keith's dad.
Right. Tomorrow, Kenda, is your MRI for your leg tumor?
Well,
oh, no, they moved
out.
It again. They moved it again, right?
What a great way to, what a Jewish way to end the podcast.
Right.
And the tumor's benign. We're going to put the MRIs up on the Patreon.
Well, yeah, there's nothing to worry about, so don't worry about it. But we need to have an MRI and a supposed tumor that they saw in an x-ray on the knee. No worries. But I did have an MRI appointment tomorrow, but it looks like we had to push it to Tuesday because my insurance needs 3 to 5 business days to know if I really need an MRI. You know, like, I thought I was going to get away with it because my birthday's coming December 2nd. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get to be in an MRI machine. The insurance is not even going to know what hit them. I am going to get to be in a box for 45 minutes. That's like a massage, you guys. And the fucking insurance will have to pay for it. Why? I don't need an MRI. Why would I need? This is just for funsies. So it's really good they're looking into it for the MRI scammers of the world like me. So anyway, by Tuesday, it should clear. I have an appointment.
On Tuesday is the appointment. All right. I'll update my calendar. Here we go. And perfect. All right. Silent Trailers, by the way, the greatest game show ever made. This Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Chemda, who knows doesn't know any movies, knows even less about actors or actresses, watches a movie trailer on Silent, describes the trailer to us. We have to guess if she really means it's Tom Cruise, and we say what the movie is, me against four other comedians.
Stop hiring people who look like Tom Cruise all day. If I could name actors, I could name four actors that look like Tom Cruise. So if I say Tom Cruise, it could be that guy who does more comedic roles but look like Tom Cruise. Who's that guy?
It could be anybody. It can be Elijah Wood. It wouldn't matter.
Do you know that I'm in New York, and because I don't know actor, I know I pass one every day, right? The only way I can tell that someone is famous that I'm passing or like I see in a restaurant is because they look so shiny and pretty that I'm like, you're in movies. I should probably be flipping out. I'm sure you look familiar and I'm sure you're very famous, but I don't know your name, so I'm going to keep going.
When Henda passes a shiny person, she goes, congrats.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. That's like, I like to be that disconnected from like the industry. That sounds like a relief.
Yeah, I'm going to call it disconnected instead of the other words flying at me when I don't know things. Thank you.
Well, Henda has like empathy and stuff. Meanwhile, I did see every movie ever made. You know, that's right. The difference. So, right. Yeah, you're right. It's probably healthier Hemda's way. This weekend, Sunday the 20th, Silent Trailers. Get your backstage passes at keithandthegirl.com/tickets. And the game will be at keithandthegirl.com/silenttrailers. Again, this Sunday. All right?
Sunday at 6, new day, new time.
That's right.
Just saying.
Ali Colbert. And it's Colbert, no matter you're talking about the show or her name. Don't be silly. That'd be ridiculous. The podcast, The Ali Colbert Show. And anything else people should know about you, Ali? Don't be shy.
Ali Colbert on everything. Instagram, TikTok. It's all there.
What's your thoughts on doing a podcast, on hosting one? What do you think of it?
I think that it's a terrible idea. And I think that no one should do it. And I think that really no one has anything to say other than us, probably the three of us.
See, this is how you can tell Ali's podcast is great. Subscribe now. I mean, you know, anyone who's like, yeah, you should totally do it.
No.
Not a good podcaster. So Ali, you passed the test.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
It was very nice meeting you. Thanks a lot for your time.